It's here and now. In the new Netflix film War Machine, Brad Pitt plays a fictionalized version of the real-life General Stanley McChrystal, who commanded American forces in Afghanistan in 2009 and 10.
I don't seem to be getting any traction. Do you know what I'm saying? Traction? We got ourselves a president who appears not to be aware of the fact that the United States is at war right now. And he's that war's commander-in-chief.
Well, it was comments like that about then-President Obama that got General McChrystal fired after they were exposed by journalist Michael Hastings in that sensational 2010 Rolling Stone story, The Runaway General. Hastings also famously quoted a McChrystal aide saying, "Bite me," when referring to Vice President Biden. Here's Hastings speaking to CNN after McChrystal was fired.
If the White House wanted to keep General McChrystal, they could have easily done that. They could have, there's a number of ways they could have swept this under the rug. So I think actually their response confirms what I wrote in the story, which was the relationship between General McChrystal and the White House was obviously fraught with tension.
Journalist Michael Hastings in 2010, he was killed in a car crash in 2013 at just 33. And now this new film based on his reporting. Washington Post reporter Greg Jaffe also covered the war in Afghanistan. He brought a friend with him to see War Machine at a screening. That friend is retired Lieutenant Colonel Jason Dempsey, who served in Afghanistan. They both join us now with a movie review with a unique perspective. Greg, let's start with the review. Brad Pitt as General McChrystal. What did you think of it?
You know, I thought it wasn't a convincing portrayal of McChrystal. I think he kind of played him as a buffoon, and I thought that that's a little bit of a missed opportunity. McChrystal was a thoughtful commander who definitely had his weak points and made his mistakes, but there was a lot good there, and including real concern sort of about civilian casualties in Afghanistan and a real sense of empathy and compassion for the Afghan people.
Well, but as the lights come up after you watch this screening, you turn to Lieutenant Colonel Dempsey and say, "Wow, that was the most anti-military movie I can remember seeing." And Colonel Dempsey, you say what?
Well, that's why I liked it. And I think, but to carry on with Greg's point, the interesting thing about the movie was it decidedly was not a portrayal of Stan McChrystal. And I think it's worth repeating that Stan McChrystal is probably one of the most talented, brilliant officers that this nation has produced, at least in my generation. But the point and the irony of the movie was, how do you get such a massively talented person in country, but he appears to be in a system, both political and military, that has no chance of success?
Yeah, and what happens then? But let's focus a little more on McChrystal, because Greg Jaffe, especially after Michael Hastings' article, he did come across as what you say he was, kind of tone deaf, but also compassionate and smart. You talk about something McChrystal wrote in his autobiography describing a U.S. raid in which an Iraqi man is demeaned in front of his four-year-old, and what McChrystal felt at that moment. And you contrast that with how he's depicted in the film. Could you remind us what McChrystal said about his thoughts in that moment?
So McChrystal was on this raid, and as he tells the story in the autobiography, the Special Forces soldiers that he's accompanying, the U.S. soldiers, make this Iraqi father of a four-year-old lie on the ground face down with guns pointed at him. And his four-year-old son watches this and repeats the same gesture. He falls to the floor and presses his face against the concrete like his father. And McChrystal remembers watching this and looking at the expression on the dad's face and thinking, you know, we've just demeaned and humiliated this man. If we are doing this on a nightly basis, there's just no way we could win this war.
Right. And he also says, "I felt sick. I could feel in my own limbs and chest the same shame and fury that must have been coursing through that father. And I thought, not for the first time, it would be easy for us to lose." But then, Greg, you described the McChrystal in the film. The first guy, the one you met in Afghanistan, you see in that quote from his book, the second guy on film is a moron.
Yeah, it was sort of, we can't kill him and help him at the same time. It's just impossible, so we're not going to kill him. And to be honest, I think that was the McChrystal that kind of came across a little bit in Michael Hastings' Rolling Stone article. I think Hastings got a lot right. I think he also got a lot wrong in that initial article. And it's worth remembering at the time that the article was sensational, and it was also very controversial in the moment when it came out.
But Lieutenant Colonel Dempsey, what about that? You know, is a top commander supposed to speak about his commander-in-chief in the field the way that McChrystal did to Hastings?
Well, so there's an interesting thing about that article because I pored over it very closely. And in fact, there were no derogatory statements attributed directly to McChrystal. Hmm. And so you can say that, yep, it's his staff. And as he did, he accepted responsibility for the things his staff said and did. But he himself was fairly straight arrow even throughout the whole article. And what it reflected, and again, I was not a fan of Hastings at the time, was the idea that if somebody's going to spend 2 weeks around the clock with you, and I used to say this to people who'd worked in the White House, you would probably say something to get yourself fired. Mm. And so the way Hastings went about the article, I did not think was appropriate or fair or met good journalistic standards. But at the end of the day, I do think the president was boxed in because there were quotes on record of military personnel making derogatory statements about the chain of command. And so it became a fairly clear civil-military control issue.
Right, that he had to respond, President Obama did, in the way that he did. Well, what about what else the film gets right or wrong about the military? Greg, you describe a sort of bubble that America's four-star commanders exist in, aides who shield them from bad news, cut off from politics and reality. Lieutenant Colonel Dempsey, is that right?
It absolutely is. And the irony of all of this is that there are no true villains in our unfolding, slow-rolling Afghanistan catastrophe. Everybody goes over there with good intentions. The problem is the military has set up a system whereby we are rotating people in and out constantly. And so each gets to set his or her own definition of success for the 9 to 12 months that they're going to be in country. And so what we have after 11, 12 years of fairly concerted effort and 16 years since the initial invasion of Afghanistan is a bunch of military officers who've blown through and said, well, I made a difference. But nobody has ever stepped back and said, well, if you add all that up, are we actually going in the right direction?
Yeah. The famous slogan that everyone wants to put on coffee cups is, we were winning the war when I left.
Hmm. Well, staying with the movie, Greg Jaffe, you also remind us the only face-to-face meeting General McChrystal has with President Obama is when he gets fired. Is there some disconnect there?
Yeah, no, I do think that there's a disconnect there. I mean, look, the president's got a lot of other priorities, but when you're sending this many people off to war and you're putting a commander like McChrystal in charge, there needs to be some dialogue there. I think what President Obama was responding to at the time was that he felt like the military had too much power. You know, if you remember in Iraq during the surge, General Petraeus essentially ran the war, and President Bush's response was, I'm going to do what Petraeus recommends. I'm going to do what my generals recommend. And he had weekly teleconferences with Petraeus. I'm not sure that was the right solution either. And so I think President Obama tended to overcorrect, which meant not meeting with his generals at all. Rarely, I should say.
Well, back to our movie review with, again, Greg Jaffe of The Washington Post and Lieutenant Colonel Jason Dempsey. Greg, you write, again, you don't like the movie that much. You say the generals are cartoonish buffoons, obsessed with their legacies, contemptuous of the U.S. civilians they serve. The troops are mostly angry and alone. The Afghans are largely drug addicts. So it does seem a little cartoonish. But Lieutenant Colonel Dempsey, we also hear about, you know, what seems just, it seems somewhat cartoonish in a way. I mean, I know you were in a life and death situation when you were in Afghanistan, but you fired an Afghan who then ends up a little while later being rehired.
Right. And one thing we never acknowledged was the reality of Afghanistan. And this is where, you know, whenever I hear generals or politicians say, well, we're not making progress in Afghanistan because everybody's corrupt. They don't have a good rule of law. I interpret that very simply as our strategy for Afghanistan would be working perfectly if only Afghanistan was a different country. And to me, that's kind of where some of the absurdity is captured in the movie. It's this idea that we're going to create a new nation out of whole cloth and that somehow we can rotate guys in and out and take a very superficial approach to changing the country and not acknowledge that there are widespread and deep underlying political dynamics that we don't even understand.
Yeah. Well, we saw that terrible bombing in Afghanistan yesterday. There was also a White House meeting about Afghanistan strategy yesterday. Look, Lieutenant Colonel Dempsey, do you remember the email that you sent to Greg, you know, afterwards, after the movie screen?
Yeah, I do. I do. The bottom line is War Machine really is an absurd movie. You can't take it as this is a realistic portrayal of soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines and how they go to war, but you can take it as a very poignant and very accurate take on kind of the hubris and arrogance with which we've approached the Afghan conflict. And so it almost wasn't absurd enough. And part of that would be, what is it about the military bureaucracy and the way we've set up this fight, the way we've manned it, the way we've resourced it, such that the entire military can roll in and think they're making a difference, but the end result is ultimately failure? And particularly with this idea now that we're going to send 5,000 or so troops back into Afghanistan, and I have yet to hear a policymaker, senior military leader, articulate how these 5,000 are going to make a difference when 100,000 could not 5 years ago.
We'll have to leave it at that. And you know what? I'd love to have you both back to talk about perhaps the way forward at another time. But for now, our film reviewers, Lieutenant Colonel Jason Dempsey and Washington Post reporter Greg Jaffe, speaking about the new Netflix film War Machine, starring Brad Pitt. Gentlemen, thank you both.
Thanks for having us.